Only 3% of the church sits on the platform, Brother Reno Likens used to always say. And we can't do what we do, Brother Russ, Brother Brown, without good, faithful church members. And so Faithway Baptist Church, as a pastor who knows the work, when we're all on our buses and vans driving back, there'll be a lot of cleanup, a lot of work going on around here so they can be ready for church tomorrow. Thank you so much for this. This is amazing, so I appreciate that. We're going to be in John chapter 4 this morning, John chapter 4. And as I always love to ask, how many of you made the decision to get saved last night? Would you raise your hand if you got saved last night? I know we had a few right here. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're right there. Wonderful. Let's give them a hand. Saw three or four hands there. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. It probably hasn't registered yet, but it's good, and it's going to get gooder and gooder. Amen. I failed to mention last night the Barmores. I should have got up and let you know with the leaders. The Barmores are the mom, the son, and the daughter. Her husband is a pastor in Hannibal, Missouri, the home of Mark Twain. And they came and kind of tagged along with us, and it's good to have the Barmores here with us too. And then church, or youth group, youth conference, I want you to do something funny. My mother-in-law is watching today. She watched last night, and she's watching. And my mother-in-law is on camera. Can you say hi, Mrs. Lewis, on three? Ready? One, two, three. Speaking of good church members, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law will be married 58 years in a few weeks. And they've been members of the same church for 50-plus years. All five of their adult children are in church serving the Lord. Of course, one of them is my wife. I got the best litter, the one of the litter, man. Her siblings are okay, but she's the best. And I'm just thankful for good. Again, as Brother Brown mentioned last night, you know, sometimes we measure Christianity on charisma, skills, talents. God measures it on faithfulness. And I was appreciating men in this room that have been faithful a long time. You know, Gail Russ, long time faithful. Tim Russ and Dr. R back there. Brother Baker's been at the same church over 30 years. And you just appreciate faithfulness. And I tell you, Brother Chamberlain, man, he said all he does is hits the white and black buttons. There's very few people on the planet that hit those white and black buttons as good as this man right here. And he plays the piano for years. I've heard him play the piano for years and just still faithfully playing the piano. And just so appreciate that. Brother Wolf back there. Man, Brother Wolf, anything with wires in it, he's going to get it happening, you know. And so appreciate people that just serve the Lord. Listen, make a decision at this conference to just serve Jesus. First salvation, but after that, just decide to serve him. You'll never be sorry. Let's look at John 4. And I got my football rag here. Thank you so much. It's all dried up miraculously. And let's look at verse number 4. Let's stand together one more time. Look forward to hearing Brother Brown come. I will not be very long this morning. And my mother-in-law is going to kill me. Love you, Mom. Mother-in-laws are a blessing, aren't they? They always say there's two guarantees in life, death and taxes, right? There's actually three, death, taxes, and if you get married, you get a mother-in-law. That's a third guarantee. Don't ever forget that, amen. But I got a good one. I got a real good one, so praise the Lord for that. Did I mention that I have a book on Amazon? Okay, all right. Look at John chapter 4, verse 4. And it's not funny, Brother Brown. I already had this message all planned for this morning, and look at the third word of verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of the ground of Jacob, gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of, say the word, who? To draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. You may be seated. Father, help us. Thank you for this great conference. Thank you for Russ. Thank you for Brother Stephen Russ and the wonderful people of this church. I pray that you'd encourage our hearts. Thank you, Lord, most of all, that souls got saved. Never gets old hearing about salvation of souls. Bless Brother Brown as he comes after Juan. Give us all safe travels back. Thank you. The conference still went on because those souls got saved. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. The word live has almost 40 definitions in the English dictionary. It's amazing. And I want to preach briefly on this thought today on where do you live? Where do you live? We got folk that are from Tennessee, right? Where are you from Tennessee? Are any of y'all Vols fans? God help us. My family, diehard Gators fans, so we're not gonna get along when it comes to college football. We got Indiana folk. We got Missouri. Do you have any Illinois? Hey, welcome to America, Illinois. Welcome to America. Y'all pray for the states of Illinois and California. They should be called the states of confusion, amen. But we're glad there's good churches there. Am I missing a state? Oh, yeah, man, Kentucky. What else? Is that every state? How many live in the state of confusion? Okay, yeah, those are the expected hands, I thought. When I count to three, as Brother Brown asks for your names, I want you to tell me where you live. All right, ready? Here we go. One, two, three. All right, tell me the city and state. Don't tell me your address, okay? City and state. There's Brother Gail Rush just walked in the back of their church. Let's give Brother Gail Rush a big hand. Let him know how much you appreciate him. Faithful man of God, amen. By the way, for those who don't know, Brother Stephen Rush is his grandson. He's pastoring the church that his grandpa pastored. Isn't that amazing? Three generations deep. I love that. I love that. All right, so one more time. Tell me where you live. Just city and state. Here we go. Ready? Simon didn't say. Just kidding. One, two, three. All right, very good. I think I got it all, and we should be able to mail Christmas cards to everybody this year. All right, now stay with me now. Today I want to talk about something a little different. Where do you live? Because in the English language, there's three tenses. What are they? Past, present, and future. And they're also all through the Bible. In just a little while, I'll show you something that makes heaven different than all that. I'll get to that in a second. But even in sign language, you can illustrate the three tenses. Watch this now. Here's a sign for past. Makes sense. It's behind you. Here's a sign for present. Present. And here's a sign for future. It's in front of you. Watch this. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. See that? Past, present, future, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So even in sign language, you can see that the visual purposes of those signs show you that something that is past is behind you, something that is present is right here, and something that is future is an extended motion of sign language. Now, John chapter 4 is an amazing chapter that teaches us some amazing principles about these three tenses. And I believe Christians live in one of those three tenses all the time. You say, what do you mean, preacher? We can only live in the now. Not true. Many Christians live in the past. Many Christians live in the present. Many Christians live in the future. The devil would love for you to live in two of those three tenses. God wants you to live in one of those tenses. So today, let's look at those three tenses in John chapter 4. And then you ask yourself this question today, where do you live? Because here's the deal. If you are going to go beyond, you have to make a decision now. You couldn't make it yesterday. It's too late. You should have made it yesterday, but you didn't. But you still got today. And don't wait till tomorrow. Now. So number one, let's look at past. All right, past. Look at John chapter 4 with me real quickly in verse number 5. We read verses 1 through 4. Now look at verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. See that? Who was Joseph, right? Who was Jacob, right? Those are all famous patriarchs, famous leaders in Israel, the nation of Israel. Look at verse number 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, look at this, being a what? Help me now. A who? A Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of? Who? Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Stop. Who said so? The past. Stay with me now. Look at verse number 12. Art thou greater? But look what the woman at the well says. You're not supposed to deal with me, but look at Brother Brown. Look what she says. Art thou greater than? All of a sudden she says, our father. Our father who? Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children, his cattle. Look at verse 17. The woman answered and said, I have an husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Psychologists say there are only two natural born fears of all babies, all infants. The fear of a loud noise. So deaf people only have one fear, amen, and the fear of falling. You ever seen a little baby, maybe your brother or sister or cousin, you walk in the room, the door bangs, they jump a little bit, or sometimes some cute little baby be just peacefully sleeping, all of a sudden they convulse, they just have a fear of falling, which means every other behavior we get in life is taught to us. And so this woman at the well, watch this now, she has five husbands, she's had five husbands, she's living with a man right now, her past is a wreck. By many people's standards, she would be considered a useless, no good woman, but Jesus must. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And Jesus knows one very important truth, young people, that God wants us all to learn today, and that's this. God is more interested in where you are today in your future than he is about where you've been. And the devil would love for us to be obsessed with our past. And may I say to you today real quickly, the racism issue in America still drives me crazy. And the media, I blame the media out of the pits of hell for stirring that pot. Do you understand today? It's never been a racism issue. It's a cultural issue. We're not that shallow to judge people by the color of skin. It's misunderstandings of culture. Do you understand today that the number one kind of marriage that is the highest rate in divorce is not black or white or Asian or white or brown or white or brown and black? It's deaf and hearing. Did you know that? Wait a minute. You mean a deaf white man can marry a hearing white woman or a hearing white woman and they have a higher chance of divorce? Yes. And nothing to do with skin color. Culture differences. But we've been taught in our past that just because somebody's skin is different than us, we're going to judge them. Shame on us. We got to quit living in our past. Our past keeps telling us to behave in certain ways. And Jesus shook Israel to the core. He shook the Samaritans. He shook the Jews. He shook the Gentiles. Why? Because he said, hey, I'm here to teach you that everything you've learned is about to be cracked and shaken up. I'm going to change you because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Young person, listen to me. I want to deal with a very delicate matter right now because it's a burden in my heart because we love teenagers. Brother Brown was talking about those hands on the walls, and I'm going to start weeping because I know how many teenagers hurt. Last August, I preached in the state of Washington. A young preacher boy, I won't even name the Bible college he goes to. He goes to a good Bible college. Gave me the 3-hour ride back to the airport. He's 20 years old now. He's called to preach. He's happily dating a girl. They're going to be getting married, I think, this summer or next summer. We had a great conversation. We became friends. We text each other. He said his parents got divorced when he was 11 years old. Here's what he said, Brother Chamberlain. He said, it wasn't until I was 18 years old that I realized it wasn't my fault. He said, for 7 years, I thought my parents' divorce was my fault. Boy, I got piqued by that statement. My parents will be married 50 years this June. I don't know what it's like to come from a broken home. God loves you. But the devil would love for you to live in the past. He'd love you to think you're second rate because of that incident or because of something awful that happened in your past. And he wants that past thing to consume you so much today that it ruins what you can do tomorrow. The devil loves the past. Can I tell you something? In just a little while, we're all going to get on buses and vans and cars, and we're going to drive down the road. And you ever notice this? The rearview mirror is the smallest mirror in the car. It's a small little thing here, small there, small there. I am aware of my past, but watch this. I'm not going to obsess about it. What's behind me on the highway I need to be aware of. I know there's a big semi-truck coming. I know there's a vehicle there, but I'm really focusing on what's going on right here. And too many Christians drive through life always looking in the rearview mirror, and they end up in a ditch. Be aware of your past, but beware not to live in your past. Young person today, our past will sometimes try to come back and haunt us. Our past will sometimes try to come back and control us. And this woman at the well was stunned. She was confused. She was floored that a Jew, a full-blooded Jew, was sitting by the well in Samaria. And Jesus knew this was going to be a controversial issue. He sent the disciples on a workaround. He said, go to the city. Get us something to eat. Because he knew that it would be controversial. But Jesus said, I'm not worried about whether or not she's a Samaritan, which is a half-Jew, half-Gentile, a half-breed. I'm not worried about the years and years of racism. She is a child of Jacob. But more importantly, I'm about to make her a child of God. Hallelujah. So where do you live today? In the past? Number two, the future. Oh, many of us live in the past too much. But let me tell you something right now. We love to think about the future too. Teenagers especially. How many are seniors today? Raise your hand. How many are tired of already being asked, so what's your plans after high school graduation? We adults are guilty of it. We get you to think sometimes too much about the future, then you stress out and you miss out on what should be one of the most enjoyable years of your life, your senior year of high school. Look, I'm 46 years old today. I'm never going to be 15 again, never be 16 again, never be 17 again. If you're 15 right now, thank God for it. Enjoy it, because one day you'll never be 15 again. Hey, right now is the time. But so many times we think down the road, we think about the future. And you'll see that here in John chapter 4. Look at this. John chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. Jesus is now speaking to the multitude. This woman at the well has had her heart changed and challenged. She's fired up. She runs back to town. She says, hey, come here, a man. Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Well, that's not true. Jesus didn't tell her everything that she's done, but he told her enough to get her fired up. And the whole city comes out. They can't believe a full-blooded Jew had paid attention to them, who had didn't bypass to go around their city or that village there. He came to where they were, and he loved them. And she brings them out, and the whole city comes, and the disciples show up. And Jesus says this. Look at verse 34. He says, Jesus saved them. Watch this now. Verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Brother Brown's message again last night. Look at verse 35. Say not ye. Here's what you say. There are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. That's what you say. In 4 months we'll get busy. In 4 months we'll do something. In 4 months, we'll do something. Hey, when I turn 18, when I graduate high school, when I graduate college, hey, then I'll serve God. No. Jesus says, that's what you say. But I love it when Jesus says this. Behold, I say unto you. Jesus is speaking now. Listen, young people. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You see, sometimes when you get victory over your past, the devil's then going to start saying, hey, what about your future? Let me tell you something right now. Worry, yeah, teenagers worry. Adults worry. Many times we worry about things we can't control. The president of the United States right now. If you think about him for 5 minutes, you got a reason to worry. So you know what? I don't think about him for 5 minutes. If anything, I pray for him for 5 minutes. I pray for our, I'm not attacking the man. He's got issues. He needs help. He needs Jesus. We're in serious crisis mode right now politically in America. The world's laughing at us. America's getting what it deserved. Watch this now. But there's still hope. And boy, it's easy to think, I'm 20 years old. Some of you girls are, I'm 15. I'm never going to get married. Stay faithful to God. He's got somebody for you. Listen, Mark Twain said this. I've had many a trouble in my life, but most of them never happened. Did you know that 79% of what you worry about never even comes to fruition? Worry is a waste, but that's what the devil loves to have. Oh, man, I can't get him thinking about the past, so I get him so worried about the future, you forget about what's going on right now. Jesus says, you say there's 4 months. You say, but I say unto you, right now the harvest is ready. Right now say yes. Right now get busy. Right now do something for God. I wrote a brief little poem about tomorrow. It's called Tomorrow Never Comes. It's very short. Listen to this. Tomorrow, they say, it is just a day away. You can wait, for it will be there alway. But when today passes, tomorrow's out of reach again. So we say, I guess I'll wait just once more for tomorrow to begin. I will, I promise. I mean, I really want to. And once again, tomorrow departs as we continue to pursue. So while we obsess about what we will do tomorrow, today sits quietly ignored, waiting and waiting in sorrow. So enough with all this tomorrow talk. Since we will never get there, it is today we shall walk. Because today is here, today is now, today is you and me. Tomorrow escapes, it runs, it flees, it is a day we never see. So make it today. Say it, live it, love it, do it until it is done. Because today is here, today is now, for tomorrow never comes. Young person, today is the day. So have you figured it out yet? The devil wants you to live in the past. The devil wants you to live in the future. You can live in any one of those two tenses. Help yourself. Hey, dwell on your past. Sulk in your past. Sulk about the rough upbringing you had. Sulk about the rough past you've had. Or maybe, as Brother Brown said last night, you grew up in a Christian home. You've never taken ownership of it. I love the comparisons he had between first and second generation Christians. Hey, that's a true statement, but it doesn't have to be that way. And we think about the things, I've missed out on so much. Look here, as a man who got saved at 18, as a man who went to the parties, as a man who experienced that side of life, you are not missing one thing. My senior year, I wasn't even saved yet. We won our state championship again. Number one team in the state of Kentucky. My teammates had a goal to make me drunk. I wasn't even a Christian. said, why didn't you get drink? I mean, you were in a crowd. No, I wasn't. I just decided I was not going to let a little bottle of liquid keep me from my dreams of playing football. Made that decision as a teenager. No preaching, no altar call. I just said, I'm not going to, when drugs was offered to me, I said, no. I wanted to play football. Football was my dream. It was my passion. They made fun of you? Oh, yeah. Guess what? I'm 46, and it didn't bother me that they made fun of me 30 years ago. I would just look at him and say, do you feel better now? Aw, hey, everybody, he's so insecure, he has to pick on me because I don't want to get drunk. Do you feel better now? Are you okay, buddy? Does somebody need to hold your hand? You know what? They quit bullying you real quick when you play their mind like that. Now, granted, I was big, and size does have a little bit of an advantage there. I get it. But I never got drunk. And while they were all drunk the day after the state championship and woke up puking and had very little memories of their game, I was able to remember it clearly. I was lost when I did that. But my dad, my deaf dad, taught me to live in the moment, even before I became a Christian. And that leads to number three, and I'm done. Jesus wants you to live in the now, right now. Look at John 4 again. I love this. John 4, verse 4. Here's what the Bible says. And he must needs go through Samaria. Look at verse 14 again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up in everlasting life. Look at John 4, verse 41. Because Jesus was in the now. Because he must needs go through Samaria. Because he reached that woman. Because she went to the city. Because the city came out to hear him. Look at verse 41. And many more believed because of his word. Hallelujah. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible does not make grammatical sense. It's John 8, verse 58. Here it is. Before Abraham was, past tense, I am. That doesn't make sense grammatically. It sure does in God's economy. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Watch this now. Don't miss this now. Have you ever thought about this? Only God can manipulate time in such a way that God can. Don't miss this now. Several years ago, I was at a camp, and a teenager came up to me and said, Brother Andy, I love being saved. I can't wait to go to heaven. But can I just ask you a question? And please don't think less of me, but won't we get bored in heaven after 10,000 years? And I'm like, no, man. God's got amusement parks, and man, it's going to be awesome, and nah, you'll never get bored in heaven. And we left, and I went away and said, Lord, I don't know how to answer that question. And some time passed, and I preach a very, very, I preach it all over the country, a message on hell, where I compare Revelation 20 to Revelation 21. Watch this. In Revelation 20, verse 10, the Bible says this, the beast and the false prophet will be tormented day and night forever. But in Revelation 21, don't miss this now, there shall be no more night. You understand that when Moses was talking to God and God was convincing him to go stand before Egypt, he said, who do I say send me? He said, tell him that I what? I am. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the living water. I am the Son of God. I am the bread of life. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Don't miss this now. How many of you have a vacation spot in your mind right now that you just love to go to? I've been to some beautiful places. I love the Bahamas. When I go to the Bahamas, I snorkel like 8 hours a day and then preach at night. It's awesome. I come in to eat because fat boys get hungry, and then I go back out and snorkel, right? Name me a vacation spot that you just love, or you've been somewhere or you'd like to go. Come on, real quickly. Somebody name me. Right over here in this section. Yes. Bahamas, good one. I like that. I agree. Yes. Bahamas, very good. Yes, ma'am. Italy, that's interesting. I've never been there. That sounds good. Yes, sir. Hawaii. Florida's great. I was born there. Florida's amazing. It's a little taste of heaven. I agree, buddy. Yes, who else were here? Yes. Who? Florida. All right, over here. Who else? A place you love. Yes, sir. Gatlinburg. That's a good one. Yes, ma'am. What? I didn't hear. Who? Oh, Disney. Okay. One more in this section. Okay, I'll go. Yes. You said Tennessee. The mountains. Okay, I'll give you that. Alaska. We went there last summer. Amazing. This section over here. Yes. What'd he say? Oh, that's amazing. Who else? One more over here. One more. One more. Paris. Thank you. I was preaching at a conference one time, and two kids raised their hand. Iowa, Arkansas. I'm like, who wants to go to Iowa for vacation? Well, on your right, there's a cornfield. On your left, there's a one-week older cornfield. Somebody say amen right there, right? Arkansas. All right, stay with me now. I remember getting to the Bahamas. I've been there 11 times to preach, suffering for Jesus. I get there to the Bahamas. I can remember walking to the shore the day. I mean, My wife and I one year got up at 2 a.m., got to the airport, flew there. We got to the hotel. She was so tired. She went to lay down. I didn't care. I got my mask, my snorkel, went down to the water. And I stood there out of the beautiful Caribbean Sea and thought, I can't wait to snorkel. And I stepped in the water. Watch this now. But I knew in the back of my mind that in 7 days I had to go back to Missouri. Not that Missouri's bad, but it's not Bahamas. Stay with me now. Here's what heaven's like. That moment of bliss when you get to Disney or Italy or the Bahamas or Florida, that moment of bliss when you realize I'm here at my vacation spot never goes away, because everything in heaven is in the moment. There's no time. There's no time. Which means you're literally going to feel like you got to heaven for the first time all the time. That's why when we get to heaven someday, our loved ones are going to be like, you're here already? Yeah. You died 12 years ago. Really? They don't know. That's heaven. Why? Because he is the great. Sorry, that's where the car is. Amen. He is the great I am. Hallelujah. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Not was, not will be. He is. I'm simply saying today, we serve a God who's in the moment. He's alive right now. I am saved. I will be saved. I have joy. I am going to heaven. I am blessed in Christ. Thank God. Well, that's worth another. I'm simply saying, hey, right now, in the moment, that's where God wants you to live. I am. Jesus, whoa, you're not supposed to go to Samaria. Don't you know who lives there? Samaritans do. We're racist. We Jews are proud of ourselves. They're not 100% Jew. They got Gentile blood on them. They're no good. Jesus says, this woman's about to reach more people than all 12 of you disciples have in the last few weeks. Because Jesus is interested in where you are right now. The devil says, hey, live in the past. Live in the future. Jesus says, don't worry. I've forgiven you of your past. And I've got plans for your future. You just live for me right now. Right now. Why, Jesus? Because he is the great I am. Heads bowed, eyes are closed.